Welcome, everyone, to the Grapevine Open Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Teddy, and I will be your host this month of June. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. You can enjoy the Grapevine Open Meetings here every Wednesday at noon Eastern Time, US Eastern Time, on this virtual platform. The meeting will be recorded and will be posted as an audio podcast on Friday on all podcast platforms, on aagrapevine.org and on YouTube. This is an open meeting and everyone is welcome. We are glad that you're all here, especially any newcomers. If you are new to AA and want to learn more about our program of recovery from alcoholism, we encourage you to find an AA group in your area. Contact with group members will help you find a sponsor and help you learn about the AA program of recovery from alcoholism. And this is the today's quote, daily quote from the Grapevine, and have it here on the AA Grapevine app. It's right there at the top. So Grapevine daily quote, June 10, 2026. The reason we try to carry the message is so that we stay sober. If the person we are helping stays sober, that's an extra bonus. And that's from Austin, Texas, in the May 2003 Grapevine, and an article called What I Learned from My Sponsor. And the theme of that issue was I Am Responsible, the Hand of AA. You can sign up to receive the daily quote as a daily email at aagrapevine.org, or as I said, you can find it right there on the Grapevine. And there's a Lavinia quote of the day too on the Lavinia app every morning. So an excerpt from this month's Grapevine magazine. And so I'm one of those people that does both digital and print. And this month's issue is Young and Sober, but it also includes stories from other places too. And there's a wonderful story from a woman who got sober in Iran. And the quote I'll read today, you know, we think we have it hard, right? But imagine trying to get sober in a country where drinking is actually illegal. So it's written anonymously, she says, every time after a drunken night, I was filled with fear. What had I done? I could have been jailed and beaten for drinking. Once I was sent to jail and whipped. So that's the quote from the Grapevine magazine today. And I also have a quote from our big book. And I have a nice new big book and a lovely cover, but this is the big book I got sober with. It even has my name here because it was given to me in a rehab and I wanted to keep hold of this life-saving book. And I'm going to read from page 101. I found this when I was getting sober. I found this advice so precious. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain ordinary whoopee parties. To a person who has experience with an alcoholic, This may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. And as with most things in this beautiful book, it starts off relating to alcohol and then relates to everything else in the universe. And I love that last phrase, be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive is thoroughly good. And that works in a number of other situations too. So this is going to be a two-speaker meeting. There's no sharing by attendees, so please sit back, relax, and listen. We often hear it is best to try and identify with the speakers rather than compare your story with theirs. And so I'm going to introduce our first speaker today, and I've forgotten which one that is. So I'm going to ask Roberto. I'm glad I got the right one. I'm going to ask Roberto to please speak and take it away, Roberto, roughly 20 minutes.
Good morning to everyone. My name is Roberto. I am an alcoholic. And so honored to be here with you in this our special day. And 31, my sobriety day is May 9, 1995. 31 years ago, before this day, I was homeless in San Francisco. I didn't want to stop drinking, not because I didn't know that I was an alcoholic. I knew that, but I didn't see that alcohol was my problem. My problem was, of course, money. My problem was my family, that they didn't understand me. They didn't want me in a home. My problem was jobs. I didn't have a job, and the jobs I used to have, there was low class jobs. And you know me, I should have a managing job, something like that. And my problem was the weather. My problem was the traffic. My problem was politics. So all my problems was outside of me, but an alcohol was the only thing that I had just to deal with all that stress situation. However, one day I was in the shelter, and I hear one staff member saying to another, "Why you don't go to a program? They're gonna give you a bed. They're gonna give you clothes. They're gonna give you food. They're gonna give you a job." And at that time, I was 43 years old. And until that point, I didn't know how to support myself. I was always looking someone to take care of me. So when I hear that, I say, that's what I need. That's what I need, you know. So next day, I used to have a job. I cleaned some bathrooms in a restaurant, big bathrooms, and I have to sweep and to mop and to clean the mirrors and everything. And they give me $20 for that and the food, the lunch. So with my $20, I used to walk back to the shelter, drinking, buying my tall beers and drinking. And that day was Monday. When I get to the shelter, I still having $5 in my pocket. I went into the shelter, and first person who crossed in my walk was the staff member who was telling to the other guy to go to a program. So I approach him and I say, I hear you yesterday saying this. And he asked me the question, do you want to stop drinking? Like I say to you, I didn't want it, but I knew that I had to say yes. If not, they don't gonna refer me, you know? So I said yes. And he took me to the front desk, and to another guy and say, do you think he will be accepted in Oxnard? I didn't know what they were talking about. And the other guy say, why they should not? And he say, because he's not that drunk. So what I hear is, I gotta get drunk, you know, in order to be accepted wherever it is, you know? So with my father, they give me a card, they give me directions where to go. And with my $5, in my way out, some guys, they were smoking a joint. And I asked them to invite me, and they just give me, you know, the little rush. And with my $5, I went to buy a tall beer and smoke my joint, and I filled the requirement, you know. And they were sending me to a detox. That's why they thought that, you know, I was not drunk enough. The detox, I was looking for some comfort, you know, some bed or no. The detox was ugly. It's the ugliest place in the world, you know. Nasty, stinky, the crowd over there crazy, you know, people yelling and screaming, and it was ugly, you know. At that night, and when alcohol started came out of my body, I started realizing my situation, and fear came to me. You know, it was a really, really bad night. You know, what I gonna do? I didn't have family. No one was stuck with me. I didn't have friends. I didn't have money, of course. I didn't have clothes. The only clothes that I have was the ones that I had it on me. So I had nothing. I had nothing, you know. What I gonna do? I want to die. That was my desire. I didn't want to stay sober. I want to die. But I so coward to pain, so I didn't want to kill myself. But I want, you know, to go to bed and pass away. However, hour passed, and at midday, May 9th, H&I committee came to the shelter to give a meeting. And one guy went to the podium and he pointed at us and said, no long ago, I was like you are right now. But since I get to AA, since I went to AA, my family let me go back home and I got a job. And those simple words came from the bottom of the heart of another alcoholic, gave me hope. I was a hopeless alcoholic until that time. The light was far, far away, but I saw the light that day. I was able to get what that person had. And I stayed another week in the detox, and they transfer me to a program. And when I get 30 days, I didn't realize that, but one day I went to meetings every day. And in the meeting, they realized that I have 30 days, and they give me my first chip, and was my first spiritual awakening. When I realized that I had 30 days sober, and the miracle was that I didn't want to drink. And not only that, I was happy because I was not drinking. That didn't happen to me before, you know. And I started my journey over there. I stayed 6 months in the program. We used to go every day the first month I was not able to go to home and see the craziness of this disease, you know. When I was accepted in the program, they gave me the rules that they have. And one of the rules is you cannot use the phone in the first 30 days. And you cannot go out by yourself. And you cannot have visitors the first 30 days. And I say, yes. Now, I don't have no one to want to visit me. I don't have no one to call me. I have no one to call. So for me, it was so easy. But after 1 week, I start thinking that they were taking advantage of me. And those were my rights, and they were against my rights. And I wanted to quit the program, you know? And a lot of successes happened here and there. For me, it's my higher power working. You know, I think that God said to me, if I let you go now, you're going to die, and I'm going to need you. So I go to wherever it is for you to stay. You know? So I stay in the program, and one of the requirements of the program, no, the only requirement is to stop drinking, and it was so clear to me that. But the program have some requirements, and the requirements that they say later, I proved that was no true. But at the beginning, that everybody was talking about that I had to have a home group. I had to have service, and I have to have a sponsor. So we used to go to the same group. The name was 1010 Valencia in San Francisco. That was the address. And it was a group who started at 6 in the morning, and the last meeting was at 8 at night. And every 2 hours was a different group. So at any time that you go to that place, there was a meeting running. So that was my home group, you know? My home group, I started picking some groups, but I had a home group. My first service was to stand in the door, giving the welcome to the people who were coming to the meeting, say, welcome, we are so happy that you are here with us. That was my first service. And after that, the service was so easy to get, you know. I don't know, especially in my community, there are few people to want to serve. So if you raise your hand for a service, things start popping to you and you have service. My problem was to ask someone to be my sponsor. Because when I saw the kind of people who used to go to the meetings, it was lower class people for me. You know, I was homeless, but, you know, I have a style. You know, that people was, you know, completely out of, and I didn't have no one. However, there was Ernesto, one guy who speak really bad Spanish, but he tried to speak Spanish with me because he want me to stay, you know, in AA. And so I say, Ernesto's going to be the one who's going to be my sponsor. But I didn't know how to ask him. However, one day I say, Ernesto, I want to tell you something. First thing he say, I don't have money. Say, no, it's not about that. I want to be, and I didn't know how to say it. You know, I was so nervous, you know, and until finally say, I want to see if you want to be my sponsor. And he say, no. He said no to me. And I want to say, hey, no, you have to say yes. It is not optional. You have to say yes. And he said no, because you are not looking for a sponsor. You are looking for a requirement. And for me, a sponsorship is something really serious, because life is the one who is in the plate. So, but if you want to talk with me, I'm going to be here. In this place 1 hour before the meeting. And Ernesto sat with me and started reading the big book from page 1 to the end of page 164. Not only reading, tried to explain me under his knowledge about the big book. So the only thing he asked me is to do the same with someone else. I have 29 years running an AA worship. Now it's on Hawaii. We're doing on Thursdays. Tomorrow it's in Spanish. And I had been doing that in groups and different places, but I still. After a couple of months going to the American speaking fellowship. A lady over there said to me, go to the Spanish meetings. Go to Spanish. It's your language. You're going to feel more the warmth of your people, things like that. So at the beginning, I didn't want it because I felt so comfortable in those kind of meetings that I go. But I started going to different groups that I didn't like it until I find Grupo Progreso in San Francisco. And they were old timers. They were old timers. And because there was not that many newcomers, I was their newcomer. And they tried. They treat me as a newcomer. I was their baby for 1 year. You know, they took me to conventions. They took me to all the worships. They took me to many different groups. They really worked with me. And then I met a girl here in LA, and I decided to, well, before that, I'm going to let you know, one day I received a call. I was waiting. I was working as a waiter, and I was doing pretty good tips. And I have a low income department for myself. And, you know, I was growing. I was growing. You know, I'm so happy. And one day I received a call from a recovery program, and they were looking for an Hispanic speaking counselor. And I said, first of all, I'm not a counselor. Second, I'm not looking for a job. And they say, we want to talk with you. So end of the story is that they convinced me because they say that my community needs me. And once I say, okay, they say, but there is a condition. In my mind, say, you are begging me to accept the job, and now you're going to put a condition. What's wrong with you? And say, we don't want people in recovery. We want professionals. So we're going to send you to school. We're going to pay for the school, but we want professionals in our. So I didn't ask for that, but before I know, I finished my school in San Mateo County, San Mateo College, and I became a counselor for alcohol and drug addictions. And from 2004, something like that, to 2019, I worked in different fields of recovery. Recovery houses for men, DUIs, and I end working with the women that their kids were took it away because their addictions, and they were fighting for getting back. So it was my last job until COVID came, and I the company crashed. And after that, I start doing Uber, and I start doing DoorDash. And that's what I do right now. And I'm so happy to do that. Every morning, I start my morning with my meeting. I have a Zoom meeting at 8 in the morning Pacific time. And once I finish that meeting, a half hour later, I start my regular face-to-face meeting. So my group, Espíritu Libre, Free Spirit, that's what that means, the name of the group. And after that, I go and start doing the DoorDash. And, you know, I'm so happy to have that job, because I'm able to see people, to talk with people, to see nature. I love to see trees. Sometimes I just stop to see different colors in the same tree. I go to some lakes and try to put some meditation music and meditate. I'm so grateful. When I came here to LA, because I was following a girl, the relationship didn't work. and it was 1 year of nightmare. However, I thank God I didn't drink. And I met another woman. And now, one day before my AA birthday, we celebrate 24 years together. I became a father at the age of 51, the only son that I have. And my son is 20, he's going to be 23 years old this year in August. And in my family side, the kids used to grow without a father or without a mother or without both. My son is 23 and still with father and mother. And that's because AA. AA had changed completely my life. And I give myself to AA. I also start hanging around with my sponsor used to record little groups, little conventions, and I start helping him. Now my sponsor is 94 years old, still alive, still with a really, really good sense of humor. The other day we talk and he say that he's getting blood transfusions, but he thinks that he's from an old person because he got no energy. So the problem is the person who is giving the blood. So he should be an old person. So he is a happy person, and he is the I think my time is coming. So I want to end saying that when I was a newcomer, I met an old timer. He was more than 50 years in the program, and he made a party, and the party was his dead party. And I say, how come you dead party? And say, yes, because no long from now, all you guys, all you my friends, are gonna be together under my name, but I don't wanna be here, and I wanna be here with you. I want to be with all my AA people all the time. I really, really, you know, everybody got their own story, but you relate a little bit with my story. You got to be, agree with me that I got to be really grateful, really, really grateful. And I am. I thank God. I thank my sponsor. I thank my groups. I thank the fellowship. And I love you guys. Thank you, and happy AA birthday.
Thank you very much, Roberto. I really liked the three P's in your share: program, practice, and progress. That came across very strongly. And I love when you say that the light was far, far away, but I saw the light. That took me right back to when I first came in the room as well. And I remember thinking when I first came in, I was like a dried up riverbed, and suddenly the rain had come and it was going through this dried up riverbed and reinvigorating me again. So a thank you. And some announcements. The Seventh Tradition states that every AA group should be fully self-supporting. And, you know, you can support AA by your contributions to your group, your local office, your area, your district, General Service Board, and other, you know, Ninth Tradition service committees. But Grapevine does not accept contributions, but we do have expenses just the same. So the best way to support the Grapevine is to subscribe, either in print or particularly, subscribe to the app. You can do that by visiting our website, aagrapevine.org. I'll keep repeating that URL. You can also subscribe to the app on the App Store on your phone. You can also purchase Grapevine books and greetings cards and other items at your local AA Central office. And you can also get those on the website, aagrapevine.org. The Grapevine Carry the Message Project allows you to help others who are incarcerated, hospitalized, or living in remote areas. And you can buy a subscription for them, again, at aagrapevine.org. We also have another weekly podcast, the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour, which is available for free on all platforms, podcast platforms. And you can also get it right there on aagrapevine.org. And don't forget, the podcasts of the General Service Office are primary purpose. And please follow us on Instagram and YouTube as well. And so now I would like to introduce our second speaker today, Penny P.
Thanks, Teddy. Hi, y'all. I'm Penny P. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be of service, and especially on June 10th when AA celebrates our 91st AA birthday. I mean, just the whole miracle of that is just overwhelming to me. I walked into my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in Honolulu, Hawaii on Sunday, October 9th, 1977. And I've been sober since my first meeting. My drinking story is basically I was a blackout drinker, so it's all hearsay. People told me what I did. In the beginning, people laughed about my antics, and at the end, I was getting those looks and those tones of voice. But I started drinking in a nice cocktail lounge in New York, and I crawled into Alcoholics Anonymous from behind a Dempsey dumpster of a Skid Row bar in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I had tried everything that it talks about in our big book. I had tried, in our big book, it's a paragraph on page 31. And in the new plain language big book, it's bulletized. And when I opened the plain language big book and saw that it was bulletized, my brain went, oh, my God, it's a checklist. I could have just checked things off. I did that. And I've done most of those things that are on that list in both of our books. And I had heard about Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't know about Alcoholics Anonymous. I had tried all of the things that it talks about in Chapter 3, and one of the things that I had done was join a softball team, and I got pulled from the game that morning, and had words with my, Jim's story is one of my favorite stories. I had words with my coaches. I walked off the field and I went home planning to get drunk. I hadn't had a drink that day, and I hadn't had a drink the day before. I don't know when I had my last drink, but I know that I haven't had a drink since I walked into my first meeting. So that's my sobriety date. But I went home that day planning to fix a drink. And instead, I found myself at the back of the house calling information, asking for the phone number of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the information operator connected me with Alcoholics Anonymous. She didn't give me a number and expect me to write it down, hang up the phone and call back. She actually connected me. And I talked to the woman on the phone, answered and said, Alcoholics Anonymous, can we help you? And I told her that I had a friend that I thought might have a problem. And she suggested I take my friend to a meeting. And I said, no, my friend wouldn't want to do that. So I said, if you tell me about Alcoholics Anonymous, I can tell my friend about Alcoholics Anonymous. And she started to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. She mentioned the word God. I interrupted her and explained to her that I didn't believe in God. And she asked if my friend believed in God. So I let her tell me where there was a meeting. And I went to my first meeting that night. And the woman on the phone, and I never found out who it was that answered the phone that night. But she was so kind. She offered to send somebody to my house. And I thought, oh, my God, I don't want people knowing where I live. And I wouldn't go to a meeting in my neighborhood. You know, I didn't want my neighbors seeing me going into AA. They'd seen me passed out on my front lawn, but God forbid they see me go into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I went to this meeting. It was at the Y in Honolulu across from Ala Moana Shopping Center. And I walked into the meeting, and what I remember is that the room was fairly empty. There were a bunch of people out on the lanai laughing and joking and smoking and drinking coffee. And I walked into this room, and there was a woman in the back, and I went up to her before I could say anything. I started crying, and she said, "Oh, you're a newcomer." And she took me outside and she introduced me to the women of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was 26 years old when I got to AA. I was young. I was cute. And the women in AA gave me their phone numbers, and some of the men gave me their phone numbers, and the women took them away from me. And then they sat me in the front row between two women. And I sat in my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have no idea what they said. It was a closed meeting. I didn't know what a closed meeting was. I did not know that that meant that everyone in the room was an alcoholic. And I sat through that meeting, and Connie C. was on one side of me, and Blanche W. was on the other, and Alan K. started the meeting. And in the past 6 months, I've had the opportunity, past 8 months, I've had the opportunity to have breakfast with Connie C., who sat next to me at my very first meeting, and to sit in two meetings with Alan Kay, who was the chairperson of my very first meeting. And Alan has 5 years more sobriety than me, and Connie has 60 days more. And the gift that has been with 48 years sober is just amazing to me. So I left the meeting and I went home, and I came back a week later. I didn't drink. I didn't take any outside issues. I thought I had joined Sunday night AA, and I came back to the meeting, the Sunday night meeting. And I walked in, and Blanche was by the coffee pot. She had a commitment, not a convenience. And she came up to me. She said, "Penny, it is so great to see you. How many meetings did you get to this week?" And I said, "Well, I was here last Sunday." And she said, "But during the week, how many meetings during the week?" And I said, I was here last Sunday." And she went over and she got a meeting schedule, and she marked some stuff on it. She took me out to Connie and Renee, and she said, "I've marked meetings where I'll see where I'll meet Penny. Would you mark meetings where you'll meet Penny?" And I started going to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous because they were meeting me there. They were going out of their way. And, you know, Roberto, I loved your story. I loved when you talked about service as a newcomer. There were so many things in your story that I could identify with. And, you know, but most of all, the laughter. That's what I remember from when I was new. There used to be a speaker in Southern California. And he used to say, "If we can get them to laugh, we can get them sober." And that's what I remember from those early days, is, you know, the laughter and the camaraderie, and that I kept coming back because I wasn't finding that anywhere else. My life was just so dark, and I started coming to AA. And I remember one Saturday night, you said they made you a greeter. They knew better than to make me a greeter. I was not good around people. But one Saturday night, I was at the Kapahulu Library meeting, and I'm walking across the room, and Helen B. comes up to me, and she says, "Honey, why don't you go in the kitchen and help Mark wash coffee cups?" And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, you must have someone who does that." And she said, "Yes, dear, we do. It's you." And she walked me into the kitchen and introduced me to Mark. And for the next 6 months, Mark and I washed coffee cups, and we washed the coffee pots, and we cleaned up the kitchen, and we made sure everything was was cleaned up and put away and that we'd left it cleaner than we found it. That was what I was taught. And I really wanted to say that, you know, Mark and I had spiritual conversations in the kitchen while we washed coffee pots and coffee cups. But what we were doing was we were taking your inventory. We were talking about who came in late and who left early. And we were talking about who was with who and who they'd been with last week. And we were not having spiritual conversations, but we were showing up and we were talking to each other. And eventually we were talking about what we heard in the meeting and what the speaker said and the little nuggets. And one of the little nuggets that I got from Roberto was when he said that he was thinking of leaving and God said, if I let you leave now, you're going to die and I'm going to need you later. And you know, I think about when I was new and where I get to be today and the life that we have as a result of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and these 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts and everything that has come about in our lives that, you know, when they told us that if we wrote down our wildest dreams that we would cut ourselves short, and I would have, but I couldn't believe them at the time. I didn't think the steps would work for me. I want to tell you that I was just one of those newcomers that skipped down the road of happy destiny, but I'm a trudger, not a skipper. And I was, you know, Bill doesn't use denial in the first 164 pages. He calls us defiant and delusional. And that's the kind of newcomer I was. I resisted everything because I was so afraid. I had so much fear. And then I came to a place where I just could not resist the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the higher power that you'd introduced me to. And I struggled with a higher power. I tried on different things for size. And I came up with a higher power that worked for me at the time. And that has changed over the time that I've been sober. You know, I've had the opportunity. I relocated from Hawaii to the East Coast. And then about 10 years later, I came to the West Coast. I've been here ever since. I've lived in the Southwest for a short period of time. And I get to travel with AA. I've had the privilege of going to, with a group of women, four of us went to Moldova just before the pandemic and got to go to Moldova and do a steps, traditions, and concepts study for them. And it was such an amazing experience. And the AA in Moldova got there because two people from Moldova, from Kishinev, Moldova, got sober in Moscow. And they got sober because the message of AA was carried to Moscow in the 1980s. And so I knew people in the 80s that were going to Moscow that were carrying the message that got to Moldova, that got to these people that then in 2019 invited us to come and share with them. And I think about all of the things that have to fall into place and all of the little miracles that happen as a result of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Bill and Bob sitting down across a kitchen table 91 years ago in Akron, Ohio, and Bill carrying the message to Bob. You know, I listen to a lot of AA recordings and a lot of podcasts. I love the Grapevine podcast. I the Primary Purpose podcast. If you don't listen to the Primary Purpose podcast, it's really well worth listening to hear, to learn some of our history, to learn some of our background. The last segment of this last season was a skit that certainly could be used at a conference or a retreat. And I love the things that I hear in those and the message that's carried and how I can identify with something that every speaker says. And that wasn't what I was like when I got here. I was identifying out. I was afraid the steps wouldn't work for me. The first sponsor that took me through the steps, Roberto had his three P's. My sponsor that first took me through the steps, we used the big book, and she had me look for prayers, promises, and principles as we went through the book. She said, there's prayers in every step. If it says, we ask, that's prayer. There's a prayer just before the 12 steps on page 59. There's a prayer right in the middle of the 12 steps. Step 7 is a prayer. And then at the end, of course, we have a prayer. And it says we ask. I can handle we ask. It was when God was in there that I struggled. I struggled with the third step prayer, and my sponsor said, keep reading, Penny, keep reading, next paragraph. And that's where it tells me I don't have to use that prayer. I can use my own prayer. And all of the gifts that I've been given along the way to that have changed my life. When in the 1980s, when I was living in Washington, D.C., I was coming out of a meeting. I think it was up in Georgetown, but it might have been at DuPont Circle. And there was a flyer on the bulletin board outside the meeting room about an online meeting. And I thought, what is that? But I had a computer by then. I was working for a client that had gotten me a computer with a modem. Now, I have to tell you, it was, which is funny for those of us in California. And it had a 1200 baud smart modem. And I used it during the day for my job. But after work, I figured out how to sign on to this online meeting. It was before we had access to the internet. It was mid to late 1980s. And we were on a network called FidoNet. And it was a bulletin board service. And it was a single server. One person at a time could go in and post a message, and then other people would come in and read your messages. But we had different message boards so that we could go in and talk about the steps and talk about the traditions. And even then, I'm talking about online AA because I think it's such a miracle that I can be on travel and I can connect with Alcoholics Anonymous and still be with my colleagues and not have to explain why I want to find an AA meeting, because I could have one in my hotel room. I had a luggable at that time. And so I was talking about online AA, and even then they were saying, oh, online AA isn't real AA. And I've been active in the online community, and in 2017, a friend of mine reached out, and he was living in China at the time. He was sponsoring a couple of guys in China, and they were starting a new online meeting, and they needed some support. And would I come and share with them and talk to them about online AA, my experience with online AA? And the Sunday morning global speakers group out of China, English-speaking meeting, became my online home group. And then COVID hit. And in the meantime, we started a Tuesday literature study. And then in January of 2020, just before COVID, we started our Monday morning women's meeting. And I still go to that meeting. And we're supportive of the Grapevine. We're an online meeting. We now have 4 meetings a week. We have a meditation meeting on Fridays. And our group supports the Grapevine. Every quarter, we buy 2 Grapevine subscriptions for the Carry the Message Project. We buy 1 domestic subscription and 1 international subscription every quarter. And that comes out of our 7th tradition before we even disperse to our areas. And we're a 3 legacies group. We're part of Area 72, District 25. We have our delegate, Courtney, just gave her delegates report in a virtual meeting a couple of weeks ago. And we got to go and hear the delegates report back from what happened at the General Service Conference this past year. And all of that has just combined to give me a life that I never could have imagined. I got my first subscription to the Grapevine when I was still a newcomer. I got a service commitment. There was a woman that was in the hospital, a member of the program that was in the hospital. And the couple that used to go and visit her every week were being transferred back to the mainland. So they told me that that was my new service commitment, and I had to take my big book and a copy of The Grapevine when I went to visit her. And I had to read to her from the big book, and I had to read an article from The Grapevine. And I said, well, I don't get The Grapevine. And so they gave me a couple of copies from the back of the room, and they said, we'll get you a subscription. This will hold you till your subscription starts. And so my subscription to The Grapevine started when I was a newcomer, and I still have a subscription to The Grapevine. Like Teddy, I get it both online, I get it digital and hard copy. And I love The Grapevine of Alcoholics Anonymous. I listen to The Grapevine podcast, and it's just the thing that I keep coming back to is I could have missed all this, not just the amazing life I have, but the people. My life is so big today. When I was drinking, my life was so small. It was the bar that I drank in. It was the people that I drank with. Even the people at work didn't want anything to do with me. And I had this small little life. And now my life is so big. I go to a lot of online meetings. I go to a lot of international meetings. I love the international meetings, but I love the local meetings and the small meetings and the different variety of meetings that I can go to. There's a Tuesday night Grapevine meeting out of, I think, Area 49. I think that's Sini, maybe Area 48. I go to a Grapevine meeting once a month on that Tuesday, and I go to a Grapevine meeting. I'll be at a Grapevine meeting here in my area at noon today, my time. And it's just the message of Alcoholics Anonymous is just amazing. I love our long-timers. During COVID, I was sitting in a meeting, and Nancy Kay was talking about our women pioneers in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they were some people were asking questions that we couldn't answer because those pioneers have moved on, and I had an idea. Okay, so most of you know that in Alcoholics Anonymous, here's the rule. If you haven't been told, the first person to make a suggestion or to complain is the next volunteer. So I called up a friend of mine who had a Zoom room, and I said, hey, what about this idea of I'd like to have a conversation with a long timer? Once a month on the last Tuesday of the month, I do this conversation with a long timer, and all of the long timers are 50 or more years sober. And we get to talk about, we don't talk about their drinking at all. We talk about sobriety, what it was like when they got here 50 years ago, what it was like. How did they get their first sponsor? How did their sponsor take them through the steps? How were they introduced to the big book? We weren't introduced to the big book. Before the renaissance of the big book in the 80s, we didn't sit down usually across the table from our sponsor. My sponsor gave me reading assignments. There were times I didn't do the reading assignments and tried to bluff. And I think about that. I was trying to fool my sponsor that I had read my reading assignment and I had not read it. But it was open book and I didn't have a cell phone. We're not on FaceTime. So I could pick up a sentence and say, oh, I like this sentence. And then she would say, yeah, but did you see this earlier in that paragraph? And I'd have to scramble to read. My life is just amazing today. And it's because 91 years ago in May on Mother's Day, Bill and Bob sat across the table from each other, and what was supposed to be a 15-minute visit turned into 3 hours. And then sometime in June, and we picked June 10th, we came together as Alcoholics Anonymous. And look at where we all are today. The gift that we've been given. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be of service. Teddy, thank you again for asking me to do this. And especially on June 10th, our Founders Day. I'm just so grateful for the life that I have today and the people that I get to trudge the path with. And I'm grateful for you and all of the amazing service that you do. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. And thanks to the folks who showed up to support me.
Thank you so much, Penny. That was beautiful. And happy Founders Day, everybody. We're all here because of what Penny just talked about. Isn't that incredible? I love, Penny, when you talked about that your friend had a commitment, not a convenience. And the path of service, somewhere along that path, pretty early on, somebody suggested to me that the only question I need to ask myself, given that, you know, any given service in AA, was, am I available? Not whether I wanted to do it, whether I didn't want to do it, whether I thought I'd be good at it or not, or somebody would be better at it. Just, was I available? And it makes it so much simpler when these opportunities for service come along. And I also love when you talked about the going to meetings regularly. When I was getting sober and in a rehab like Roberto, I was talking to a friend of mine who had his eye on me, who was sober, and we were talking on the phone. And he said, "Yeah, you need to be going to meetings at times you would have been drinking." And my response was, "Well, that would mean morning, noon, and night." And his response was, "Yes." And so that's what I did, and hasn't produced any baleful results, as Bill would say. Let's quote Bill on Founders Day. Let's also quote Dr. Bob. Keep it simple. Let's not mess this thing up. Let's keep it simple. What a dynamic duo they were. So thank you, Penny. Thank you, Roberto. Please, everyone, let your friends know about this meeting. It is an open meeting, so it's also ideal for friends who want to learn more about Alcoholics Anonymous. Keep this in mind when you're doing your cooperation with the professional community or public information work. And now what I am going to do is I am going to invite Roberto to close our meeting today with a prayer of your choice, Roberto.
Well, thank you. Just let me say, Penny, thank you for your share. I really relate with a lot of things that the promises, someone told me that we have 12 promises, my sponsor. No, we have 144 promises in the book. And if you don't trust me, look for it. And the online meetings and many things that you talk about. Thank you for your share. Thank you for your share. Was an honor. And we're going to close with the serenity prayer. Say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom
to know the
difference.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Teddy. Thank you for inviting me. It was an honor for me.
What a lovely way to start our day on the West Coast, and what a lovely oasis in the middle of the day for those of you on the East Coast, and for everyone in between, whatever time of day it is, it's always a good time for a meeting. So hope to see you all next week, and that's all we have for you today. Have a beautiful 24 hours, everybody.